will be all across the EU, I would say. Okay. So it will be all across the EU. We'll be able to efficiently provide treatment to patients in the EU, wherever they are.
All right, my name's Hunter. I am the host of the Another Angle podcast. We've got Dorokin today from our sales team. We're going to be chatting about all of the B2B side of the industry. All things, you know, international expansion, what the company's up to, and yeah, hopefully you'll all be tuning in to hear all of the juicy details. Right, cheers for coming on, mate. So, for anyone that doesn't know, this is Dorok, our sales, exec, partner, development manager, business development manager, just all of the above, right?
I would say he's pretty
covering the bases, mate. If you can just give a little bit of context, what your role here is at Right Angles, that'd be great.
So as Abdullah also states, my role is basically covering around the business development side of Right Angled. We have pretty exciting stuff to come up and develop on a daily basis. But again, quite fast-paced, but enjoying the creativity, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's probably the standard response from everyone in the business, to be fair. But I mean, you know, it's rapid in a good way, right? Yeah. So, in terms of, I guess, just how the business side of things is looking, obviously you see it, especially from a B2B end. I think how is the weight loss industry as a whole kind of expanding?
I mean, on the weight loss industry, you're asking on the B2B side, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say, we've been trying to onboard new clients every day, from weight loss clinics to telemedicine companies, on private clinics, or even through our RAX website that's under development, big private healthcare hospitals, that have an in-house pharmacy already, as we can say. So we work as a fulfillment partner in that basis on what we're currently doing. We help private clinics reach out to their patients better with extensive care, where we send their prescription medications to their homes and allow them to have a better patient retention, to be honest. So that's what's on the B2B side of what we've been doing so far. And we have some pretty exciting stuff to come up now with the RAX is development, I would say. It will be allowing quite a lot of healthcare professionals to easily prescribe and dispense the medication either through their in-house pharmacies or doing some regular follow-ups on their patients.
Yeah.
Or it might help private clinicians getting into the online space to better adapt to online space where this, as we can see, a lot of online pharmacies coming up and online healthcare providers coming up. And here we have classic and established private clinicians who are wondering how do they navigate through this circumstances and times. So we basically help them leverage this factor through our system.
Interesting. Okay, so for anyone out there that doesn't understand what RAX is, myself included, can you elaborate a little bit on what you mean?
So it will basically be a partner portal where clinicians and prescribers will be easily logging in with their details and managing their own patient data and records and prescribing their patients and redirecting to the pharmacies that their patients desire, or if they have a partnership agreement with us, they may choose our own pharmacies to do those fulfillment from us, basically.
Yeah. So what, it's just basically giving people as well as the clinician just easier access to the medications that they need.
Yes, and also a little bit of automation with less error prone in terms of the communication between the pharmacy and the practitioner.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, very good. I mean, I know that I've personally helped interview a couple of doctors from down on Harley Street, which is always a bit of an interesting time. Obviously very knowledgeable, but coming from, I guess, the bariatric side as well, do you find that, you know, a lot of people that are coming through the door, like we're kind of sending them their way? Like how do you find that relationship with the surgical side kind of developing at the moment?
I would say we've been putting in the automation for our referral pathways for partner clinicians since quite some time now. again, everything as it is, it's under still development, and we're trying to still optimize our ways to enhance that referral partner program. But I would say, I think it's a good partnership for both of us, because when you look at it, I think in the healthcare, especially in the private healthcare sector, we don't see that much of clinics collaborating or healthcare providers collaborating in between another. And I think it's a good opportunity to actually help one another and also increase their value mutually. So, yeah.
Well, naturally makes sense, right? Like there's obviously some people that we can't serve, and there's obviously some people that they can't serve as well as well. So it's nice that we're obviously taking those steps, to be honest. And obviously they're good people that we've met as well. So it's always good to have them around. I think in terms of, I guess, Right Angle's growth and development, like obviously we know what is going on, like kind of behind closed doors as well, what the plans are for the future. Are you able to kind of give away anything that where we're in developments in?
I mean, RAX is on that side. Yep. We're also having our physical presence in the EU and in the US simultaneously at the moment.
Yeah.
I think once we get our licenses, I would say we'll be able to much more fast and like much more efficiently provide care and treatment to our patients in the EU.
Definitely.
Where it's going to drop down the fulfillment levels, so just probably just same day or next day deliveries, as same as we do for our UK patients.
Definitely.
So I think on our patient side, that's probably one of the most interesting things that's going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in terms of obviously the EU, I know that there's obviously different regulations kind of in place, especially for the prescription of those weight loss medications over there as well. Like what are the kind of parameters that are being set over there that are, let's say, distinctly different to the UK?
It's completely different from one another, I would say. The prescribing element as a whole is another world. It's a different process, and there are different patient database measurements that you have to take into account when even like processing a prescription, let alone just prescribing it. I would say we're adapting it well. I would say, you know, you should always keep paddling until you reach a roadblock, and then you just find your way to navigate through it. And we're just basically learning ourselves as well, just along the way that we're getting the license.
Yeah, fair enough. So in terms of, I guess, where in the EU we're really able to provide for, so what are the main countries that will probably benefit most?
It will be all across the EU, I would say.
Okay.
So it will be all across the EU. We'll be able to efficiently provide treatment to patients in EU wherever they are. Wherever their GP are as well. We're trying to create the system where we'll be able to process any prescription within the EU with any language that's been provided through us. So I think that will be definitely a major plus on our side, because as you can see in the EU side as well, the telemedicine industry as a whole is growing itself into the online platforms much not as fast as the UK, I would say, but fast.
It's getting there.
Yeah. So I would say, I mean, again, people would like to see their options better through internet. So they're probably going to do research, and when they come across a site, let's say they're in Portugal, even though it might not be based in their home state, if they're eligible to prescribe to them and if the prices are right, they will go for them. So like, it will be usually hard for an in-state pharmacy, let's say in Netherlands, to issue a prescription coming from a different EU country. But now we're trying to pinpoint down this pain point and relieve it for anyone out there that wants fast treatments and care plans.
Definitely. Okay. So would you say that's kind of the more of the unique selling point that we're going for? It's just the fast and affordable side of things, you know, being able to provide that access across the EU.
Oh, definitely. I think we're going to be addressing a major key point on the healthcare. I think it's going to be a good stepping stone for digitalizing the telemedicine inside the Europe as well. And I think we're going to be one of the pioneers of it.
Definitely. I mean, that's obviously great to hear. I'm obviously dealing with more of the marketing, you know, website side of things as well. So I'm aware of the developments that we're going through. But it's nice to know that we're able to obviously provide to those people out there that we physically can't reach at the moment within the UK as well. So exactly. I guess what's the plan over in the States as well then?
I would say we're going to be putting on the same effort as how we're putting in the EU as well. But yeah. obesity aside, again, healthcare as a whole is something that has to be addressed quickly and efficiently.
In terms of that, obviously, there's massive regulations, especially throughout the UK. Yeah. I think we're all pretty aware of that. But do you think there's any, just from your own personal opinion, obviously having worked in the spaces, is there any room for improvements in order for people to gain access to the medications a bit easier? I know that the NHS is coming in with treatment plans for people meeting certain criterias, but do you see any developments in the future? Or
I have no idea, to be honest. If I knew, I would probably work in the NHS now. Like, I have no idea, to be honest. It's a space where I think that's the thing. I think there's a lot of miscommunication between a lot of areas of healthcare, especially within the UK itself, that kind of lacks development, and it lags the development as well. So I would say the communication would be the first point that anywhere in the world, as a healthcare institution or a healthcare organization, should address first, to be able to think about how we're gonna make this better. Because if you don't have the communication element and the aspect within your own departments or within your own teams, or within a prescriber and a pharmacist, or within a GP and a pharmacy, or within a nurse and a doctor, if it's not done efficiently, then you're gonna have the problems that the people are facing in the face of NHS right now. Or probably patients in the US are facing, or in the EU. I have no idea on like what's happening at the moment. But again, it's the communication element, and I think that was our initial value proposition point when we were setting on this journey to establish our presence in the EU and streamline our operations in the UK as well. So I think it will probably gonna make a difference when you're looking at it from our side.
So you think that's the goal, I guess, for like, let's say, the next 6 months to a year, is just really focusing down on the communication side of things, like where maybe the more public sector's kind of lacking, we're able to really refine on.
Yeah, and making it more accessible to people.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's the point. So, yeah.
Cool. Okay. I think, obviously, we've touched quite a bit on the business development side of things. What actually, I guess, inspired you to really get into this industry as well? Like, if you can give us a bit of background.
I think it's always been the human element.
Yeah.
I would say. I always enjoyed biomedical sciences when I was doing my undergrad as well. It equipped me with quite a lot of stuff, I would say. But again, I always wanted to apply to this in an area where I can use my human elements rather than just sitting in a lab. That's what made me pursue this career in that pathway.
Interesting. Okay, so what you find it more gratifying, being able to talk to people and obviously getting results out of it rather than just doing like the testing?
Exactly, and not on that end also, but like, again, it's about understanding personal problems. That's the main point, because when you're thinking about it, if there's no problem, you wouldn't have a business development in place. So understanding the problems better requires communication from actual people who go through hardships when they're trying to navigate certain stuff. Listening to them, learning from them, and trying to optimize yourself better was my crucial motivation point, I would say, that taught me that this is the career path that I will be spending my life in.
Definitely, fair enough. So what, you just see this foreseeable future just trying to serve the world at large?
I have no idea. We'll see how what life will show, I would say.
Fair enough. Okay. So I guess obviously we've touched pretty heavily on the weight loss side of things. I think, has there been any other, I guess, areas within the medical industry that you've seen a bit of uptake in? Or is it just, I guess, is the lens solely on the weight loss medications at the moment?
At the moment, it was the weight loss medication side, I would say. Again, the industry at a large scale, weight loss, when you look at it, it's actually just a small proportion when you're comparing it to, sorry, oncology side, for example. Right now, even though we're seeing a massive surge in GLP-1 sales throughout the pharmaceutical manufacturers, again, the spearheading drug categories are still in the oncology side. So, I would say maybe for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, fair enough. Is there any, I guess, developments with treatments down the pipeline? Like, obviously, I know that you're in the sales kind of side of things, but like, have you caught wind of anything that, you know, is coming up over the years, or?
So, actually, yes. I think Eli Lilly just made the FDA application for their oral GLP-1.
Okay.
So I think quite a lot of people who have needle phobia.
Yeah, which I can imagine is probably larger than you think.
Probably.
Yeah.
But again, I've always been, even though I'm working as a person who sells the drugs in the OptumMend, I was always been a person who would believe that, like, rather than just like trying to focus on the medication side of things as a solution, is to understand yourself and like, why it has to come down to this path.
Yeah.
Or better. So I think
So the oral side's coming up. To be fair, I mean, I personally hear of obviously people, you know, taking the injections all the time, and it's like I could not do that on a weekly basis. Like, I think it's more or less just the dedication that people have in order to improve their health, right? Like, if that's the option, then...
Definitely. It comes down to a point where you have no options left.
Yeah.
And that what pushes you to do and pursue these kind of pathways and drugs and medications, of course. But I think in the initial point of that problem just emerging, I think we should focus in a holistic approach on why this thing ever actually occurs at first. When you look in the science side as well, the scientific world is just like slowly adapting to this idea on there isn't just one single cause for a certain problem. It's always a combination of different factors involved. Even when you take it to the molecular level as well. So I would say, again, as far as pharmacies and dispensing part of the healthcare industry has to be streamlined, also the care plans and how people assess people. Assess their patients should also evolve over time as well to understand what is the root cause, like, or what are the root causes.
Yeah. So would you say are some of the root causes that are kind of impacting, I guess, modern day obesity problems then?
So obesity is one of the medical conditions that has multiple underlying reasons, again, but there's a psychology element to it, but again, there's a genetic element to it as well.
Yeah.
There's a way where how your body might be producing a certain hormones or metabolites might be a little bit different than your average Joe, you know? And again, I think because we're neglecting on this part of a lot of medical conditions actually rely back on multiple factors at once, we tend to kind of get this idea of like, yeah, like it's just so easy, you know, this is just like a 1+1=2 kind of solution. People just, and like society as a whole neglects quite a lot of medical conditions just because they think that it's just super easy or to understand why a lot of people get this, but it's actually not. So that's why I think people should be educated
on
why these causes occur in the first place and how to prevent them happening ever.
Definitely. So obviously that kind of ties back into the whole communication aspect as well. Well, obviously, I think there's still a bit of a stigma around it that people are, you know, willingly becoming obese, even though it's, you know, primarily out of their control. Obviously, you know, there's habitual things that people can put in place to remove some of the possibilities, but, you know, just sometimes it just doesn't quite work out that way.
Exactly. That's where we step in.
Yeah. Definitely. Good little sales pitch there. Right. Okay. Quick fire session. Just going to bang out the first thing that comes to your head. All right. So which country do you see the most progression with in terms of weight loss regulations?
I would say it's definitely US. And if you're talking about the EU aspect, I think it's going to be either Denmark or UK. Denmark, because it's the home of Novo Nordisk and they're scientifically, you know, science and research driven country. So
I
think they treat obesity as a serious health problem.
Okay. Do you think these treatments will still be the same in the next 10 years?
I wouldn't say it will be the same, but they will definitely going to exist. I can say there will be less invasive modes of medications or different approaches to treatment plans, definitely, but I think they're going to be still there.
Cool. Okay. When the patent for the main GLP-1 compounds expire, what do you expect from the industry as a whole?
Oh, it's going to be a wild west, yeah? I think. Yeah, it's probably going to be the same when Viagra's patent got expired.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you think GLP-1s will become the norm in weight management treatments, seeing it become the first go-to option even beyond just standard health changes?
It's a hard question. It's dependent on the research and the future onset effects of the medication that we're probably going to see, because again, you would never know. Back in 1940s, cigarettes were prescribed, and later on 20 something years later they figured out it was causing lung cancer. So it's something to be taking in serious cautious and
right. So it's the safety parameters that exactly will be restricting it. Okay. And finally, with the introduction of oral GLP-1s in the near future, do you think they'll ever end up overtaking the injectable options?
I think they will, because people will actively going to look for less invasive modes, yeah, or much easier ways to consume those, yeah, treatments. So I would say they can easily overtake them.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for tuning in today. This has been Hunter and Daruk on the Another Angle podcast. If you are watching us at the moment, you can go and listen in via Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you are listening, go and check out the full video via our YouTube channel. We'll be back again next week with another great episode.